Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
What's up, New Orleans? What's up across the Gulf South? What's up to you listening wherever you are tonight at WWL.com, the WWL radio app, the radio.com app. Welcome on into the show. It's NBA draft night. And I'm pumped. I was talking to Coach Salter Formaggio just a little bit when we were in studio. We had a chance to chat. He sounded pretty excited about the draft himself. And we are a couple of hours into this baby already. And we're up to, what is it, pick number 16 now. There's been a couple of trades today. We'll get into those. We'll get into all of the picks here in just a little bit. But let's set the scene for the show today. Yes, a big, heavy focus on the NBA draft and the trades and what this means for the Pelicans, what this means for LeBron James and his destination. Yes, indeed, still looking like Los Angeles. We'll cover all that. Scott Alexander will join us here in hour number one. We'll also talk to Jim Eichenhofer, writer for Pelicans.com, in hour number two. We got to talk some NFL as Jameis Winston, he was officially suspended. Remember, the breaking news last night on this program, and we talked to a Bucks writer about this, was that Jameis Winston was bracing for a 3-game suspension in response to an investigation by the NFL for an alleged sexual assault in an Uber that he took in 2016. Well, the NFL has indeed come down with that suspension, and yes, it is 3 games. So we'll get into that. And we will also talk to Grabe Allman of the Tampa Bay Times on what this means for the Tampa Bay Bucks this year. And maybe Dirk Cutter, the very embattled head coach there, what it means for him and his job security. In hour number three, of course, we'll have our World Cup updates. The big news today, well, it was a very, very bad day for one of the world's best players, Lionel Messi, and his team, Argentina. We are watching the debate about the GOAT, the greatest of all time in soccer, it's playing out before our eyes in Russia right now. And it is going heavily one way, and that's the way of Cristiano Ronaldo. Everybody wants to talk about the GOAT. Remember, it's LeBron versus Jordan. It's Tom Brady versus Peyton and Breeze and Joe Montana and everybody else. Well, soccer's having the same thing. They think maybe the two best players ever to play the game, certainly two of them playing right now. But this one isn't even close, at least not this year. So that's our show tonight. Let's get you caught up right now on the NBA draft. And our WWL opinion poll. Remember, no Pelicans pick in the first round this year. And it's not uncommon to see them with either no first-round picks or them quickly dispatching of any player that they did pick in the first round. It's been a strategy for Dell Demps. It's worked to varying degrees of success. He is not a build-through-the-draft kind of guy. I think that's been proving. Our WWL opinion poll on this, has it been the right strategy for the Pelicans to build through free agency and trade away most of their first-round picks under Demps? Simple yes or no. You can log on to WWL.com, and you can cast your vote. So here's what's happened so far in the NBA draft. Number one, as expected, as we talked to a couple of guys the last 2 days, they all told us the same thing. It's DeAndre Ayton, the big 7-footer out of Arizona. He stays in-state, and he goes to the Phoenix Suns. Ayton is an incredibly physical specimen. He reminds a lot of people of Shaquille O'Neal. I know that is a big comparison, but that's what people see in him. A return to the physical big man who can dominate down low, especially offensively with his back to the bucket. That is Ayton, and the Suns will now rebuild their team through him. Marvin Bagley III, he goes number two to the Sacramento Kings. There is questions, does he really want to wind up in Sacramento? Will the Kings pick him there? Well, the Duke product does indeed go number two. Here's the rest of the top 10. You have Luka Doncic. He goes to the Atlanta Hawks down the road. Jaren Jackson out of Michigan State. A lot of people are saying that possibly Jackson may turn out to be the best player in 5-6 years in this draft class. Jaren Jackson goes to the Timberwolves. I actually posed the question on my Twitter about an hour and a half ago. Who's going to be regarded as the best player out of this draft 5 years down the road. I got Trae Young, Mo Bamba, Marvin Bagley, Luka Doncic. Not one person said Jaren Jackson. That's one of the reasons I did it. I don't think the public perception of Jackson matches the reality with his talent. He can be a star in this league. We'll talk about him a little more. And then maybe the biggest star in college basketball this last season, Trae Young from Oklahoma. He goes number five to the Dallas Mavericks. And there was a couple of picks here, trades, I should say, in the first round. Yeah, the Mavs and the Hawks traded picks. The Mavs moved down to number five. The Hawks move up to number three. And the Mavericks get a future first-round pick from the Hawks for that pick. There was also another trade that just happened just a little bit ago. Let's see here. What was the other one? It was the Clippers and Hornets. They traded lottery picks. The Clippers get the 2018 number 11 overall pick, and the Hornets got the 12th pick and 2 second-round pick. So they get Alexander, do the Clippers, and the Hornets with that pick. They get Miles Bridges, so that's what happened today. We thought there'd be many more trades than there have been so far. We're still watching the trade wire. No Pelicans news, no real Lakers news or anything that would really show you where LeBron James might be going. It's not like the Lakers jettisoned Lonzo Ball and made way salary rise for LeBron and a couple of stars to come their way. Now, it's been a pretty quiet night, especially when people thought it would be a very busy day here draft-wise. So that gets us caught up. Let's see here. We are at number 16 right now. The 16th pick was just in. The Phoenix Suns, their second pick of the first round. Zaire Smith out of Texas Tech, the small forward, he goes there. Troy Brown of Oregon went number 15. You got the Milwaukee Bucks, then the San Antonio Spurs, the Hawks, and the Mavericks coming up 17 through 20. Let's go ahead and take our first break here. If you want to weigh in, give me a call. What you watching tonight on the draft? 504-260-1870. We're going to talk to Scott Alexander of Primetime Sports, a big basketball buff, about what he's thinking about this NBA draft, what the Pelicans are doing this offseason. And yeah, a little bit later this hour, we're going to talk some NFL. We've got to talk about this Jameis Winston suspension. 3 games for an alleged incident in an Uber in 2016. We'll get into that second half of the hour. We're just getting started. I'm Seth Dunlap. Thanks for joining us tonight. It's Double Coverage on WWL. Dante DiVincenzo goes to the Milwaukee Bucks. He's one of my favorite draft prospects here. Very good value pick there by the Bucks. Having fun watching this all the way through. You know, I just saw a Foot Locker ad on Twitter promoting when and where, how soon will LiAngelo Ball get drafted? I'll tell you what. If LiAngelo Ball gets drafted, that would be a complete mockery of this system and a complete publicity stunt by whatever team does indeed do that. I'm sorry, that is a family and apparently a dude that has zero sense of reality. I know Scott Alexander feels the same way. I saw your tweet, Scott, a little bit earlier. Scott Alexander, host of Primetime Sports on WLAE TV and CST. Come on, LiAngelo Ball, man? Really?
Yeah. For those out there that don't follow at D. Scott Alexander, I said, is the WNBA going to draft LiAngelo Ball tonight?
Right.
And I got a lot of reaction on that. People said, man, he can't even play in the women's NBA. So, yeah, I don't think he's going to get picked yet by the real National Basketball Association. How are you, Seth?
I'm great, man. This is one of my favorite nights of the year. It's a bummer, again, that the Pelicans aren't really involved here in the first round, but I guess that's the strategy of Dell Demps. We'll get into that in just a minute, but what's your take on what's gone on so far here tonight?
Well, let me just say this. I've been lucky enough to be on that floor twice, haven't been an agent. We had Wilson Chandler picked in 2007 with the 23rd pick, and then we really got lucky a few years after that, with Ekpeudo jumping all the way up to 6. And he hadn't really panned out, but still, it's exciting when you get into that top 6-7 range. And it was a good moment. So I'm looking down the floor now, and I'm just kind of remembering all those fun times down there. It's a good time. Yep. But as far as this draft, man, listen, my first thought is DeAndre Ayton's a stud. I really – I don't know if I feel as strongly as I did when Towns came out. Carl Anthony Towns, I really was high on him. When, believe it or not, a lot of people were really high on Joel Okafor about 2 months before the draft, and that's a fact. And I kept saying from literally December on, I said, Towns has got to be the guy, and he really started emerging during the season. And I think he's great. He's not Anthony Davis, like some people were trying to say before the season. I don't think that's even a question anymore, but some people are actually saying it. But he's great. And DeAndre Ayton has that potential, man. I really feel he's kind of a little mini Hakeem Olajuwon. And listen, that's a high, high, lofty thing, and I don't know if anybody can touch that. But if you're just talking poor man's player of that particular a player in Hakeem, I think, you know, he's got those kind of skills, and he's only going to get better.
Who do you think is going to be the best player in 5 years out of this draft? It sounds like you might think it's Ayton. I really like Ayton, by the way. He reminds me a little bit, and I know this is kind of blasphemous, especially down here. He reminds me a little bit of Shaq with his back-to-the-basket skills, his physicality, and his size. And I'm talking about his strength really down low. He is 7-footer. But when I look at this, I kind of think low-key that Jaren Jackson may turn out to be the best pro, or Marvin Bagley. Everybody knows about Bagley, but not a lot of people are talking about Jaren Jackson as maybe the best player in this draft. I love him out of Michigan State.
Great skills. A little trivia for you. I played many games against his father, Jaren Jackson Sr., who was a baller at Cohen, and he could play.
Good stuff.
And then he ended up going to Georgetown. But the guy I like, honestly, is Colin Sexton. I think this guy is going to be a beast. Ayton's my guy, and you know, I know a lot of these guys going forward are going to be good, and Bamba's going to be good at what he does, but I think Colin Sexton's going to be kind of an emerging player, and there's I don't think there's anybody but Ayton that can be that superstar, but he's going to be a tough guy. I mean, he's so fast, and he gets the hole so quickly, and his shot is adequate. He's got a decent stroke, not really a three-point stroke, certainly in an NBA range at the moment. But his tenacity, his will to win, it's pretty strong. And I wasn't a big fan of his coming into the season. And he kind of like Scotch, he kind of grew on me. And he just became a guy that I was like really impressed with towards the end of the season. I saw what he did, you know, in the tournament, winning the game, winning the shot. I mean, he's just a winner, and I like his game.
Yeah, he's like that McCallum that ages really well. Talking to Scott Alexander, host of Primetime Sports on WLAE and CST, at D. Scott Alexander on Twitter. And you know, let's talk about that Sexton pick for just a minute, because that goes to the Cleveland Cavaliers. And when I saw that pick, I'm glad you brought it up, I immediately thought, this is a specific pick to try to get LeBron James to stay, because it fills a huge need. It would let LeBron handle the ball a little bit less, fill that Kyrie Irving gap that they lost last year. He is a point guard. And I just thought that, hey, that pick to me screamed, this is what LeBron wanted. I don't know if that's true or not, but it seemed that way to me.
Well, it does. There's no doubt. I mean, I think it's a nice pick for LeBron if he happens to stay. I think they could do some great things together. I mean, Sexton, even though he's just 1 year out of high school, he could be ready to play. I mean, he really could. You know, a lot of these guys, that they may need a little maturing, like most kids do when they're 19 years old. But he's tough, man. And I'm going to say this, I would have probably picked him in the top four or five. That's how much I liked him. So, I don't know. I mean, you know, LeBron staying, I have no idea what's going to happen on that situation. But
I still think it's L.A., right? I don't think it's L.A.
My instinct was L.A. for a while. There's something else. I just keep getting little tings, because, like, with Daryl Morey, I just think that he's somehow going to work some kind of magic to pull him over there. you know, there is that great relationship with CP3, you know, and you got Harden, and then they make this other super team, which wouldn't bode well for the Pelicans. But if you put those two together, I mean, that would be a really good shot at beating Golden State. I'm not saying they could definitely do it, but, you know, and obviously down here, we would love to think that having AD and LeBron and Drew Holiday on the same team might be able to get it done too, but I don't think New Orleans would be a destination place. I'm thinking he's looking for lifestyle. That's what we're hearing.
Yep.
He wants a good place that can win and lifestyle. And LA hasn't proven they can win yet, but, you know, if they package up George and whoever else, you never know.
Yeah, indeed. Scott, can we keep you through CBS News here?
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it.
Okay, I'll take a break for CBS News here in just a second. And the latest news from the LeBron camp, we'll get into this in our LeBron Watch segment a little bit later, but the Ringer reporting that the LeBron camp says that he won't go anywhere but L.A., Cleveland, or Philadelphia. Whether that's true or not, that's just one source reporting that. I kind of agree with Scott. Him not taking a look at Houston is a little bit head-scratching to me, but we've heard multiple reports now that he just doesn't want to go to Houston for lifestyle reasons, like Scott just said. We'll take a break for CBS News. More NBA draft talk. We'll focus on the Pelicans coming back. I'll ask him, does he agree with the strategy here for the Pels in the Dell Demsara about not retaining any of their first-round picks? Well, except for one, and it was the biggest one, AD. We'll do that next. It's Double Coverage on WWL. Our studio producer, Tim Zimmer, getting a little upset. He can't watch the College World Series tonight. Kind of blacked out by NBA coverage. But right now, in the College World Series, Florida without a hit in this game in the fifth inning, but they lead 1-0 over Texas Tech. How about that? We'll keep an update on an eye on that and give you updates here in just a little bit. Scott Alexander with us, host of Primetime Sports on WLAE and CST, talking about the NBA draft. And it's been well publicized by just about everybody locally this week, and deservedly so, Scott, that Dell Demps' strategy has been to build through free agency, through trades, and he doesn't trust the draft really at all. The only pick that he's retained for longer than a year was, Anthony Davis. I guess a guy that he should have, right? But do you agree with this strategy? Do you think that it is the right one here for the Pelicans?
Well, listen, I mean, you have to realize one thing when this was going on. I don't want to put this diplomatically, but Tom Benson was looking for a winner, and was looking for a winner fast. And we all knew that Tom Benson's years were counting. And I'm not going to say that's the reason, but I know that was part of it. They wanted to win right now, and we all know rookies, unless you're one of the top few picks, are going to take a while to develop. And who can complain actually right now about trading Nerlens Noel? Seriously, they traded, you know, that pick Nerlens Noel for Jrue Holiday, who was a young guy coming off an all-star season. I don't think any of us knew that he was injured. I don't think any of us foresaw it. Maybe they should have known. I don't know. We know he missed a little bit at the end of the season over in Philly. But the fact is you were expecting with the influx of players that they brought, you know, the Ryan Andersons and the Tariq Evans and all that you would be picking higher in 2014, right? Because they traded away the 13 and 14 first-round picks, and it seemed stout. But, I mean, all things were pointing to, wow, this is going to be great. Well, who knew that the injuries would be so vast on this team? You know, Eric Gordon had his share of continuing injuries and all the other guys that got hurt. So I look at that. The only one that glares out, because 16, they did pick up Buddy Hield. They ended up trading in.
I was just going to mention that.
17, you know, another solo one. And then obviously, you know, with this year, it was Nico Meritage. So the fact is you can kind of see all these. The one that's going to glare out is 15 when they got Omar Asik and they, you know, they got that pick and they traded that one away to Houston. And it just didn't pan out. I mean, you brought Asik to bring protection for Anthony Davis. So you kind of saw why they were doing it. And here's a stat that people do not remember. Asik led the league in rebounds per minute the year before. And that's the reason they brought him over. He became a deteriorating player not soon after, not that far after. I mean, maybe a year or two. And he became pretty awful at the end of his career here. But I don't think any of us really saw he was going to be that bad. You're bringing him for protection for AD. The guy could rebound. You know, you're giving him more minutes than he was accustomed to. You planned on, at least. And it just didn't work out. You know, obviously we know what happened when they re-signed him for that same reason. So it is what it is, and I understand. You know, some people say build to the draft, but there were reasons behind what they did.
So the Hield, you mentioned Hield. He's the one to me that I think they might really end up regretting here long term, because he shot 43% this season from three. And you look at what I know, they got Boogie Cousins. You didn't think he'd have the injury, man. But can you imagine that kind of 3-point shooting on the outside with this team right now? That one, and I know they got, it's hard to second guess him, or, you know, I guess Thursday day quarterback here. Yeah, go ahead.
The guy that they got this year was averaging a figures that had only happened three or four times history, maybe five. I mean, 25 points, 13 rebounds, and five assists. That seems like that it's doable, but it's never really happened much. I mean, we're talking just a small handful of people, and Wilt Chamberlain being one of them. I mean, Buddy Hield, you don't get the trade done without him. Let's just say that. That was the guy, the owner of the Sacramento Kings really wanted. You know, he wanted them to draft him, and obviously the Pelicans got the pick and got him. I think they were picking two behind that year, and so they weren't able to get him. So it's give and take, you know. I mean, listen, I know, I hope, you know, I love Buddy Hield. I really do, and I really want him to be a big success in the NBA. But with what you have, you aren't going to really win any playoff games with him, with what you had. So if you're talking about big picture and where they can go, Boogie Cousins was a very important piece to obviously the future success of the team that they were sporting at the time, and that pretty much is the team they have now. I think now it's a little more realistic because we see that Drew Holiday, what he can be as opposed to what he was in the beginning of his career here. Now he's all of a sudden, other than, we've said this before, other than Kawhi Leonard, I mean, honestly, who's a better two-way guard in the league? So if you get him to resign, and all of a sudden you really do have a true three-headed monster here in New Orleans that could cause waves in a year or two.
Who'd you have on the show this week, and who you got planned for next week?
Oh, man, I had one of my favorites, Taz Mitchell, you know, third leading scorer in LSU history. He's the sixth leading rebounder in LSU history. Now Will Wade's assistant. He spent a whole segment talking about – we did two with him because I wanted to do this. I want to talk about his career and the fun times, the great run to the Final Four. He won the SEC – they won the SEC title twice when he was there, 06 and 09. And he also you know, went to the Final Four. So, but he's great. And he talked about that stuff one segment. And the other one, he talked about those seven incoming players that are going to be impactful for the LSU Tigers. He's a part of the coaching staff now. And he's a young guy. He's already been an SEC legend by the time he was 30, you know, when they do that at the SEC tournament. Man, he's just a great kid. So that's going to air twice more. It's going to be 6:30 on Saturday evening, and then again on Sunday at noon. But next week I have three guests, and they're wide range. I have Tulane's quarterback, Jonathan Banks. I love that kid. He's a Kansas State transfer. I thought he had a really nice year. He missed a couple games, and he still managed to have 19 touchdowns, and I think he had like 2,500 total yards. I think he's going to have a dynamic season next year. I really do. He is very talented. And then also we're going to have Lyman White. You might not know who Lyman White is, but if anybody that's my age out there listening, I know they know exactly who he is. He's one of the three best, in my mind, defensive linemen that ever played for the LSU Tigers. Second-round draft pick back in the day with the Atlanta Falcons. He played from 77 to 80 when I was a kid watching, and he was one of those studs. So it was an honor for me to have him. And then I brought on the guy that's the head of the Louisiana Sports and Exposition District, and that's the group that brings in what was part of the responsibility of bringing in the Super Bowls, the Final Fours, and the NCAA football championships, which New Orleans has all three coming up in 2020 for football, 2022 for the Final Four, and 2024, as you know, for the Super Bowl. So we're bringing in the president or chairman of that group, and his name's Kyle France. So it's going to be a fun show this coming up week, and that's Tuesday at 7 o'clock.
Yeah, sounds like it, man. Hey, I could always talk hoops with you for hours, but I always appreciate it. Hey, you watching any World Cup? You getting into this tournament?
I am watching. I was immersed in it this weekend when Mexico beat Brazil. The Iceland tie was remarkable. I mean, I'm kind of – you know, it was fun to root for those guys.
They're on the brink, man. They get a win against Nigeria. What is it, tomorrow? They're probably advancing. It's crazy.
No, I've been watching. This week has not been as much as this weekend, but I'm enjoying it, Seth. I know I'm not a soccer guy quite like you, but I do love big events. I watch Stanley Cup hockey. I watch every game. And when it gets to be the big stage, I'm watching.
Yeah, me too, man. Hey, we'll talk to you again soon. Thanks so much.
All right, brother.
All right, Scott Alexander, Primetime Sports on WLAE-TV, CST. He's on Twitter at DScottAlexander. We're going to take a break here. When we come back, let's talk a little NFL. We got to talk about the Jameis Winston suspension. Yes, last night the news broke. He was bracing for a three-game suspension. Well, he was bracing for impact, and that impact came today. Indeed, a three-game suspension comes down from the NFL. Winston will not appeal. I want to get your thoughts on this, and we'll run through the details. I'm Seth Dunlap. It's Double Coverage on WWL. Scott Alexander sent me a text saying he wanted me to correct it was Mexico's victory over Germany, not Brazil. I was actually in here on – I knew what he meant. I was in here on Sunday watching that match with Dave Potter. It was outstanding. Let's get to Jameis Winston here. And I want your reaction to this, NFL fans, Saints fans, because it's a really ugly story. And it's finally worked its way through the NFL's – adjudication system, for lack of a better term there. But according to the NFL, they're planning to suspend Bucs quarterback Jameis Winston again 3 games for violating the league's personal conduct policy. This all stems from an alleged incident with an Uber driver in March of 2016. Jameis Winston was allegedly groping the driver that was a woman. There was an allegation. I don't know if there was video evidence of this or not, but it worked its way through the NFL, and they've come down with a 3-game suspension here for Jameis Winston. Now, for the Saints, what that means is Winston will be suspended for that game. The NFL investigator Lisa Friel is the one who spearheaded this investigation. ESPN Tallahassee host Jeff Cameron initially reported all of this week, so we got to give him credit. He's the one who first reported it here. I think this is it's big news. You have one of your star quarterbacks in this league. Now, he may not be an elite quarterback. He's certainly a star, though. Had the huge name recognition out of college, comes in, high draft pick, good first year, regressed, but still one of the most talked about quarterbacks in this league, and you have this high profile sexual assault allegation against your star. And what's most telling about this is Jameis Winston is not fighting this. He said, or apparently through a statement from the team, that he will not fight this 3-game suspension. And a texter brings up a good point here. Text from the 985. I have an issue with the Winston suspension. Domestic abuse is automatically a 6-game suspension. Shouldn't sexual assault be the same, if not more? Would it be more if he wasn't a quarterback? Just a thought. Indeed. That's what I thought, too. If you have a Ray Rice situation, something a little more, I guess, on video or provable than the Winston one, that was a little bit of hearsay, or he said, she said, I think it would have been a 6-game suspension. So the NFL comes down with this likely because they didn't have enough hard evidence to give him that full suspension. And Winston not challenging this, not going to appeal this, I think is very telling here. But this is a black eye on Winston. That's no pun intended there. I probably should have used a different analogy. But this is obviously a very bad news for Jameis Winston. This is very bad news for the Bucs organization. And it's another mark against the NFL. Another star player caught in an abuse scandal, a sexual assault scandal. And this is just par for the course. I get that the league is very big. I get that the league is diverse. And to the league's credit here, I know they don't get a lot of credit, especially since that Ray Rice incident and how they handled that. But to their credit, I think the last couple of years, they've come down as hard as they could with this collective bargaining agreement without overreaching. Because, you know, the first thing that people would say if Goodell or whoever, Lisa Friel, whoever it is inside the NFL comes down with, you know, say an 8-game suspension, a year suspension for something like this, you'd have them say, oh, this is this authoritarianism. This is them overreaching. It's almost like they can't win in a situation like this. And I'm not certainly one who sits here and defends the NFL offices much at all. If you listen to this program, I am highly critical of them. But one thing that I think they don't get enough credit for is they're at least handling this aspect pretty darn well. Not perfect, but I think as well as they can, again, in the frames of this collective bargaining agreement. Grayson Allen just got drafted, by the way, by the Jazz. Big smile on the Duke star's face, so he will join Donovan Mitchell. He's actually talking to Donovan Mitchell right now. They just had a big embrace there watching the NBA draft. Remember, no first-round pick for the Pelicans. But I want to know, from you Saints fans, from NFL fans out there, what do you think about this Winston suspension? If I'm a football team, if I'm an organization, I don't want this guy as the face of my franchise. I just don't. I'm sorry. I know this wasn't proven in a court of law, but I'm sorry, it's proven in the court of a public perception. And I don't think that he can now be the face of that franchise with any kind of credibility. And without him for 3 games and what was already going to be a very tough season on the field for this franchise, Dirk Cutter is toast. I'm talking yesterday about who will be the first coach to get the axe this year. Move Dirk Cutter to the front of that list. Place a bet on him. What's that, Tim? usually it'd be him, I guess maybe Hugh Jackson, although it seems like he has the rebuild process there in Cleveland that he's going to have a little more leeway. I don't know. I just know this is ugly. This is really ugly. You agree with me? Tim agrees with me. What's the score of that baseball game, Tim? You were pumping your fists back there. Florida. You're cheering for Florida? Oh, okay. I thought you were cheering for Florida. They've gone up 3-0 on your Texas Tech Red Raiders. You kind of adopted Texas Tech. You picked them out of that half of the bracket, I thought. Ah. Yeah. Let's see here. Here's some text coming in. Another thing, then, this kind of starting to show a pattern for Winston. He's getting suspended for sexual assault after the sexual assault allegations when he was at FSU. Then you add up on the crab leg incident and him posting that pic with crab legs on draft night. He definitely has character issues. Absolutely. This is a pattern of terrible decisions, bad behavior by Winston. I have zero leeway here. I know that this organization, with the assets and that they've thrown at him, rebuilding their franchise around this guy. First of all, I thought that was a mistake when they drafted him. I wouldn't have touched that guy with a 10-foot pole if I was a general manager. But you kind of reap what you sow here if you're the Tampa Bay Bucks. I don't know, a very vulgar text coming in from the 985, but he's basically saying, let's see here, I'll try to edit out this. Dude, wake the blank up. This league isn't diverse. It's 85% black. If Winston were a white guy, he would still be in jail for raping that chick in college. I don't think so at all. I don't know what your point is there. Are you trying to argue here on the text line? Please call in 985 and don't hide behind that text. I'd love to get that into you. Are you saying that people of color, that African-Americans have an easier time with the judicial system in this country? You wake up, because I don't know what you've been smoking or drinking tonight. Get off that text line. My goodness. All right, take a break. We'll have an update here on the NBA draft. Oh, Kyle Kuzma on the TV. This must not be good. Seth Dunlap, double coverage on WWL. Welcome back to the show. Hey, LSU Tiger fans, are you ready for the LSU Tiger football caravan? The last stop is right here on WWL. Don't miss it when Coach Ed Orgeron, defensive coordinator Dave Aranda, offensive coordinator Steve Ensminger, plus Tiger greats Kevin Falk, Mickey Joseph, all join Bobby, Deuce, and Christian for Sports Talk live from Walk-Ons in Metairie at the Clearview Mall next Thursday. It is going to be a blast. That's next Thursday, June 28th from 4 to 8 p.m. with the Tiger Football Caravan. It is free. It's open to everybody who loves purple and gold football, and it's first come, first serve, so get there early. Doors open at 3:30 p.m., and again, our show starts at 4. Details online right now at WWL.com or radio.com. We'll take a break. We're coming back next hour with some sound from Alvin Gentry and a College World Series update.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.